You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 69. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week we're going to recap a long weekend of Make It So action, and we'll see what else we can dig up.
So as we move forward into phase two of Make It So, the teams have been reshuffled and redistributed, and now we have two other arch-nemeses of affiliations, the Borg versus the Federation.
Yeah, and it looks like the two powerhouses from the first round, the Romulans and Klingons, were mushed together, and the Bajorans and Cardassians were also mushed together to make the two teams. I think we've talked about how that was an interesting decision, but still, nonetheless, I looking over the two sets, I think they're pretty evenly matched. What did you think overall?
To summarize, I would say Borg.
Yeah.
I felt like while the anti, mostly because of the personnel cycle. For the Feds, they were. Make sure I'm not confusing them. They are the one who did the micro teams.
Yeah.
I definitely agree that is something that needs to be dealt with, and soon. But I don't think this is the way to do it. It's mostly a lot of, a lot of things that are already exactly or variations on the theme of cards that already exist. They just happen to be text on the personnel instead of on an event or an interrupt. Yeah. So the only thing really Zindi about them is that they have skills and their race. And then, now there are these personnel and we can use them with these other events, except that if I really want to stop these micro teams, I would just play these personnel and have them sit at my headquarters because I'd be afraid they'd die and then you can go attempt with your micro team.
Yeah, I think that was something that Charlie and the folks on the Make It So episode talked about, how they just sit at their headquarters and broadcast from there, and you don't actually have to do very much with them. You can splash them into any deck, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't even have to be playing a lot of Zindi. You just throw one or two of them in, and you're done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would agree with that. Going back a little bit, I had the same problem with this challenge that I had on the very first challenge, and that was I just had a hard time getting into it. It's probably because I don't know where these cards are coming from. I mean, this could be Stargate cards for all I know, because I just haven't seen the story arc.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes no, there's no talons grabbing me in here and pulling me in. So they're interesting on their own. I like the fact that they all chose something different. So I like that all the personnel kind of had a theme that really, it felt like they were all kind of doing the same thing. Even though I don't like what they did.
Sure.
I like that they kind of all felt like they all came from the same place.
Yeah.
This could be the Zindi thing, is smacking up, minimal attempts or being another kind of police force.
I like that they had the cards that they had that worked together with them. I liked the Zindi Council event. That was kind of cool. The subspecies thing was kind of interesting, so you could either target them by Zindi or target them by Zindi subspecies for the super weapon. I kind of felt like the mill part of the super weapon came out of nowhere. I had to have it explained by their notes before I realized, okay, well, if they're anti-micro team deck, then the micro team deck is probably small, so milling cards would damage it.
Yeah.
But it sort of comes out of nowhere. But I did like that, you have to have one of each of the species, one of the three different species, like in the show. And
and I did like that it had a use for Guardian's advice.
Yeah.
That was very cute. I liked that. Some of the folks didn't like it. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because it was a card from that cycle. episodes said that it made it useful. You know, none of the AU icon kind of thing didn't work out very well, but yeah. You know, bringing it back in, I think that was nice.
Sure.
They chose to go with the Zindi keyword, so they could all be different species, and which is great for, you know, racial tension. I think if I were to had created my own entry this time, as you know, we've played around with it in the past, I think I would have made an icon. I would have made him have a little icon. That way, they wouldn't get smacked up by Captain's Guest, and you could reference the icon. It takes up less space, and it'd just be different.
Sure.
If there are some affiliation. You know, you can use it to attempt missions with. I think that's what I would have done.
That would be interesting, the way Fed is subdivided by icon. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. And then you could throw in a... That would be an easy way to throw in a headquarters without having a new affiliation if you end up wanting to go that route. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and they went... They went with the keyword for things like gatherers when there was a bunch of them, and you know, so they could all play together. But yeah, this was spread across several episodes, and they've just all from one.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think they could have done. I think that would have been interesting. So looking at the two ships, right? One is Command Staff Staff, and the other is Command Staff Staff Staff. Having seen the show, they're the same ship, the same aquatic class cruiser or whatever, which. Which better represents the ship in your mind?
I don't know that I could say having seen the show, because I started watching season 3 and I've caught bits of it. Mm. And I kind of have a gist of what happened, but I really didn't solidly watch all the episodes and definitely not in a row where I could judge. You know, I think they're both kind of I think they're good for what they did.
I was going to base my entire decision on who to vote for based on the staff of the ship. And well, you're not helping me out here.
Well, let's look at it this way. Three staffing icons for a ship that you're telling people to come, you know, bring it on and fight. So, you know, you might want to get that out going quickly. And it's not too powerful, because all you have to do is bring the ship and park it there. And, you know, hope that I don't have any super battle pumps. But this one, you know, if you're at Delphic Expanse, which is going to be the whole thing, the whole point of playing these guys, if you're playing this, I think you need to have more staffing requirements if you're going to make it that easy to play people directly to it.
You don't have to worry about being de-staffed, since you can just keep playing people there.
Exactly. So you might as well make it more difficult to get around if you're going to make it that easy to play them to there.
Going back to the Federation entry, the Ibex 1, it's interesting that it's unique, so that if you're going to send it out to go protect your events, you're probably going to have another ship to actually do your stuff with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it were non-unique like this other one, then you could have a couple of them, one over there, one over there.
Oh, yeah. You certainly wouldn't want that ship to, you know, go hit a Goomtu and then be even easier to destroy.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't be your primary attempting ship, so you'd probably be throwing in mercenary vessels to, you know, with their 8 range to go dance around and go home and back to do your stuff.
Yeah, I think I would like the stats from the Fed version better on the ship from the Borg version, just because since it's already, you know, since you already don't have to go home to staff it, and you already are in region, so the range is reduced.
You really don't need the 8 range. Huh?
Yeah, the 8 range is a bit generous.
Yeah.
Especially making it non-unique. If you're going to be able to play to it, it should probably be, you know, Voyager-esque. It should be unique. So yeah, there's still some kinks to work out with that ship. So yeah, I would say the other ship is probably a better design. Face of it. But the Borg win for click and clack, because that's hilarious.
Yes, don't drive like my brother. So very well. By the time the show airs, the voting will be over, so we can't suggest that you go vote. However, the next challenge should be up shortly, and we'll be sure to talk about that.
And members of each team, you know, feel free to take whatever you will from our advice, which is, I'm sure, usually mostly just discarded. But that's okay.
But regardless of what happens, someone's going to be out, and we've got, 10 good folks, and we'd love to talk to whoever that is, so... Put it on a light, you're from here. He's such a turn on, this space age man, my luminous lover.
my electric man.
Not to interrupt the Make It So news, however, I believe we're getting some incoming intelligence right this second.
Yes, one of our agents in the field is very slowly sending me text. So I'll relay that as we get it.
Now, is this, we talked last time that there are going to be two new sets coming up. There's the smaller boutique 2E set, and then we're going to get an even larger 1E set. Has our agent been able to identify which this is from?
Yes. It appears to be in a 2E template, so we'll go with that. Most of the 2E cards have not had backwards compatible icons, so this will be the 2E set and only in 2E.
Okay.
All right. This is an event. It costs 3, and it's called Press the Attack.
Well, that sounds like an assault or a maneuver card.
It is a maneuver. That's the keyword maneuver. Plays in your core. This will be the first maneuver event we've had in... If this is really an attack card, this will be the first virtual attack card, correct? Am I making that up?
I can't think of any off the top of my head. If so, they probably do something weird, because there hasn't been any need for one in a while. I mean, even the ones that we got recently, you know, relatively recently in the printed set were still the first ones that we had gotten in a while. That was the Spirit of Kaelas and the whatever the Dominion counter was to that, where you attack and then cards go under.
Right. Okay. The text is order. Begin an engagement involving your ship with your officer personnel aboard. If you win, place this event on an opponent's ship involved. Otherwise, destroy this event.
Okay, that's pretty standard.
Damage. I think this is what we were looking for. This is the first. This could be the first damage marker in virtual. If this is a non-Voyager ship, ignore its game text.
Wait, oh, ignore the ship's game text.
Yes. So this would be a second way, aside from a few minor difficulties.
So it's like
mixing some game text on a ship.
A maneuver to get sort of the a few minor difficulties text on going. However, it's, you know, you can't just score points to get rid of it. Is that how you?
Yeah, it's
you have to actually go home and do some repairs.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, once you put a damage marker on a card, it's no longer an event or whatever, so you can't counter it that way either. So repair,
really,
repair it is the only way. Yeah.
Well, if that doesn't make Spock and or Exocomp a little more popular.
Yeah, certainly. So for all the download an event and put it on your opponent's ship, like the Maquis guy and all this random stuff, this will be pretty interesting. So you just drop it on their ship, and now they can't use its game text.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of... if I was playing a maneuver deck, I would certainly throw it in. I'm trying to think of what... Obviously, Voyager would be crippled if you did that, so that's why they excluded it. But things like the TNG Enterprise D bonus points, corner rounding, that goes away. You could throw that on the Tal Knot, so now you can start blowing up their events again.
even if it's for a turn. I mean, if you drop this, go over, mess with their stuff, do all the things that their ship is stopping you from doing, they have to take an entire turn to go home and repair it. That could be all the time you need.
Oh, there was a virtual maneuver, but it wasn't actually a fight card. Helping Hand was came out, where you can pitch a card of the same class from hand to pump your stats.
Okay, right.
But this is the first actual fight card that we've had in a while.
Cool. There's a note that says this is still in testing and subject to change, so we can't lock in stone any of this, but not bad for a 3-cross event.
Sure, that's interesting. It's kind of in the middle there. No buffs, but take away some game text for a turn. That's pretty cool. Oh, you know yeah. what? I was wrong. There was one other. We just got a new assault maneuver card in the last set.
Right. Just so you can play one.
Yeah. So
that cost two. Oh, that cost two. That should cost nothing. Sorry, it's under siege, and it really should have a picture of a cook somewhere on there.
Yeah, that's the one where you throw it in your opponent's core so that your DS9 people work, which yes. I don't think I've seen anybody play yet.
I haven't seen the DS9 group. I haven't seen the Ferengi group. I think I might have seen one of them splash into a Ferengi deck, but we just haven't seen that around here.
Yeah. All right, well, some new battle shenanigans with the... Now, this boutique item was supposed to be to spice up virtual format, so now we have... that's a good thing we were looking at that. So now we actually have a virtual card that will initiate a maneuver or an engagement instead of assaults and maneuvers that don't do anything.
Yes.
So look out, virtual folks.
And then always, as we said before, interaction is good.
Interaction is good. So helping hand is not just for getting past outclassed anymore.
Yeah. In fact, since it doesn't have a bonus to, you know, attack or to weapons, probably having a helping hand would be a good idea. Electric Man. All right, and this also in on the wire, we've got a tidbit for 1E that several affiliations are going to get mission specialists.
Really?
Including some that don't have any.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is Bajoran and Cardassian, because I know they immediately got away from that when DS9 came out.
I'm thinking about it, I don't think any of the Delta Quadrant affiliations have mission specialists, do they?
Sure they do. There's Angelo...
Sure, the non-aligned ones that everyone uses.
He's Federation, man. He's a Voyager. Oh, you're talking about the non... Like
I'm talking about like a...
Kazon
and... A Kazon and a Hirogen and a...
Delta Quadrant doesn't need any help. What about, like, Dominion?
A Dominion would be good.
Do they have anything?
There's plenty of Ferengi, right?
You know, I don't know if there's any Ferengi. I know there's Dr. Ferrick, but he's not really a Ferengi. They should just remake him as a Ferengi. That would be cool, since he came came out as non-aligned before there was any Ferengi.
Yeah, there are a lot of cards from the Premier set that I've always thought they should remake, like Oset and Dr. Ferrick and... Dr. Rega, all those guys that should be affiliated and they just weren't.
Yeah. Well, we did get, I guess we got a 2E Cardassian Oset, but never a 1E.
And I think she might be backwards compatible, I'm not sure.
She is, but still.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll give us one of those as the one of the backwards templates that they've been doing. That'd be cool. Listen up, 1E designers. all those Premier 1E cards that were affiliated but came out as non-aligned, if they have backwards compatible cards, make 1E versions of those guys. That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing some more of those in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, we have run out of intelligence to give you this week. So we're going to wrap things up on behalf of our producer, TK. We'll give our customary shout-out to Warp 11 for their excellent, excellent theme song for us. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to, dude, expand your power in the universe.
And to end, I will go back in time and ask myself what number I'm thinking of.
Excellent.